Every author has their reason for writing. I'm no different. I write strictly for pleasure. Every single sentence that I write is a new and exciting sentence for me. It's never happened before. It's like turning on a television in my mind. I'm seeing what I'm writing for the first time. No one has seen this yet. It's a new TV show that's just about to air, and nobody's had the pleasure of watching it, and I'm the first one who gets to. That is why I write, strictly out of pleasure. I don't write for any other reason. I mean, making money is a good thing, yes, don't get me wrong. And some people may decide that making money is the reason they write. Maybe it is. But I don't believe wholeheartedly that's the reason they started writing. I think everybody starts writing because it's something they want to do. They have a story to tell. It doesn't matter that no one's heard it before. It's their story. They have to tell it. They have to tell it their way. I'm no different. I had to tell my story my way. And I do it strictly out of pleasure, with hopes that other people will enjoy it as well. If readers enjoy my story as much as I enjoy it, then I've done my job as a writer. You know, a lot of people may say that inspiration keeps them writing. But what inspires them? Everybody has different levels of inspiration or different things that inspire them. What keeps me writing is the strict pleasure of writing. If I do not enjoy it, I don't do it, plain and simple. I may get disheartened and take a month or two off at a time and just be lazy, but I don't run into what everybody calls writer's block, or at least I have not yet. I do it out of strict pleasure, out of the pleasure of writing, having a new book come to life. Whether or not it ever sees the light of day of being published is irrelevant at the time I'm writing. My reasons for writing are out of pleasure. What keeps me writing is my enjoyment in writing and my pleasure in telling a story. I'm a storyteller above anything else, and that's why I write. What would I say to an aspiring writer, someone who's just getting into this that would love to get their book published? Don't try to edit it while you are writing it. Wait until you've gotten to the end of the book or the end of the story before you ever try to edit it. Then stop. Take a break, a few days, even a week, maybe even a month. Then come back and edit it for the first time. Trust me, you will find that it's a lot easier that way. You will see things that you would not have seen otherwise. So I would have to say, the one thing I can tell an aspiring author to do is do not edit while you're writing. That is one of the biggest mistakes you can make. On the topic of dialogue, well, I approach it a little bit differently than some, maybe. I'm not sure. I'm not a English major where being grammatically correct is always 100% the way to go. I write in what I consider to be conversational dialogue. My books are dialogue and action driven. Does that mean I'm an expert on the subject of dialogue? Not necessarily, but I do have something to say and maybe something to teach on the subject. I do, you know, it's up to you, the listener, to judge the value of this. Dialogue needs to be something that the reader can understand and relate to. If the reader can understand what you're trying to say and the dialogue that is going on in your book, especially if you're having the dialogue between two different characters going back and forth at each other for whatever reason, or if it's a single spread out dialogue of thought behind one character. In either case, it needs to be engaging in some form or fashion in order to get the reader to be engaged in the dialogue and take the dialogue seriously as something that's believable. It doesn't matter if the book is a fantasy, fictional, or true story. It doesn't make a bit of difference. Dialogue still has to go the same way. If the dialogue is not engaging, then the reader is not going to be wanting to read it. It's just that simple. They'll put the book down. It'll become boring to them. If while you're writing the dialogue, and you're not excited about it yourself, it's not grabbing your attention, how can you expect it to grab the reader's attention? Plain and simple. Make conversational dialogue between multiple characters seem as real as possible, as if you were standing there talking to them or you were standing there listening to their conversation. I'm not here to tell you how to write your dialogue or how to make it grammatically correct. I'm here to try to help you understand the fact that if people do not enjoy it and they can't relate to it, then they're definitely not going to read it. They'll put it down in a heartbeat. And that is not what you're after. You're wanting someone to read your book or read your story. So make it as if you were standing there listening to the characters talking. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be believable. No matter if it's fantasy or what, it doesn't matter what genre you're writing in. It must be engaging. And the only way to make it engaging is by making it believable and making your audience believe that this is actually going on. If you can convince them, even for a brief minute, that what this dialogue is doing is actually happening right then and there somewhere in the world or in this universe or another universe, then you've done your job as a storyteller and you hook them into your book. That's what I have to say about dialogue. The other subject happens to be criticism. Criticism everybody has to deal with as an author. Well, everybody has to deal with criticism as a person too. But as an author, sometimes we have the misfortune of reading reviews that are not favorable to our craft and not favorable to what we've written. The good thing about it is that one person's opinion doesn't mean that opinion is the same for everyone, but you must take into consideration that that person has taken time to write a review, whether it's a bad review or a good review, and criticize you or criticize your work. So there has to be others out there that also believe or think like he does and makes his review or criticism more valid. Take the criticism and tear it down. Look at it piece by piece. Even if you don't necessarily agree with the criticism, look at what that person is saying and use the points from the criticism to best serve you, better yourself, and better your writing. You know, one guy once wrote about one of mine, said that the grammar was terrible, and he was about to put the book down within the first 8 pages, but kept reading it, read it all the way to the end. But the thing is that the grammar was only terrible when it was about one particular character. I disagreed with him. But at the same time, I have to take into consideration that his criticism means that other people out there think the same way he does. So if I'm not at least willing to listen to the criticism and take that into consideration and tear it down and build myself and my craft better because of the criticism, then what's the point of getting any kind of a review, whether it's a critical review or whether it's, you know, a positive review? Either case, they are all meant to try and help you and better your craft in one way or the other, if you listen. Not just the positive ones, but the negative ones are meant to be more helpful than you actually can realize at times. Even though some of them may sound hateful, for the most part, they really mean to help, not hurt. So take a look at every single criticism, whether it's about yourself or about your books, and take a look at it from their point of view. If someone is taking time to criticize, as long as they're not being a bully or something along those lines and just being downright mean and hateful, but they're actually trying to build, you know, help build yourself up and give you advice on what might need to be changed, take a look at it and evaluate it each time separately. Every criticism needs to be evaluated for its own worth, and always needs to be taken into consideration. Criticism from bullies, on the other hand, not so much. Those are people who need someone to tear down in order to feel better about themselves. They need to be pitied because they don't understand that it's better to try and build someone up than to tear them down.